Greetings, and welcome to the Pressure BioSciences fourth quarter and full year 2017 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would like to turn the conference over to your host, Richard Schumacher. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Matt, and thanks to everyone on the call for joining us today. Before we begin our fourth quarter and fiscal year 2017 financial review and business update, I need to read a cautionary statement. The following remarks may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from any future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Such factors include, among others, those detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We expressly disclaim any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements to reflect any change in our expectations or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances upon which any such statement is based. So the agenda today is like before. Joe DiMaggio, our Chief Financial Officer and Vice President of Finance, is going to give a brief overview of the fourth quarter and also of the fiscal year financial results. We're going to follow that up with a general business update, and then afterwards we'll be happy to take questions. So we're going to start now with the Q4 and fiscal year 2017. Joe?
Thank you. Here are the financial results for Q4 2017 versus Q4 2016. Products and services revenue was $456,000 for the fourth quarter of 2017, compared to $365,000 for the same quarter of 2016, a 25% increase. Sales of instruments increased to $317,000 in Q4 2017 compared to $204,000 in Q4 2016, an increase of 55%. Sales of consumables were $60,000 for the fourth quarter of 2017 compared to $50,000 for the same period in 2016, a 20% increase. Grant revenue in Q4 2017 was $47,000 compared to $54,000 in Q4 2016. Total revenue for the fourth quarter ended December 31, 2017 was $503,000 compared to $420,000 for the same period in 2016, a 20% increase. This increase was primarily due to our double-digit growth in products and services. Operating loss for Q4 2017 was $1.3 million, compared to $1.1 million for the same period in 2016. This increase in operating loss was primarily due to an increase in sales and marketing expenses related to the expansion of our field sales team from 1 to 5 individuals during fiscal year 2017, as well as an inventory allowance in the fiscal year 2017. Loss per common share basic was $2.37 for Q4 2017, compared to income per common share of $3.13 for the same period in 2016. Loss per common share diluted was $2.37 for Q4 2017 compared to a loss per common share of 64 cents for the same period in 2016. For the Q4 2016 period presented, where net income is shown rather than a loss, the diluted earnings per share calculation assumes that the convertible securities, including debentures, were converted into common stock at the beginning of the period. For the diluted earnings per share calculation, we add back interest expense on those convertible securities and exclude the gains from derivative liabilities relating to these same convertible securities. Financial results, fiscal year 2017 versus fiscal year 2016. Products and services revenue was $2 million dollars for the year ended December 31, 2017, compared with $1.8 million for the year ended December 31, 2016, a 15% increase. Sales of instruments increased to $1.5 million for fiscal year 2017 compared to $1.2 million for fiscal year 2016, an increase of 21%. Sales of consumables was $260,000 for the year 2017 compared to $200,000 for the same period in 2016, an increase of $60,000 or 30%. Grant revenue for fiscal year 2017 was $175,000 compared to $182,000 for the 2016 fiscal year. Total revenue for 2017 was $2.2 million compared to $2 million for 2016, a 13% increase. Operating loss for 2017 was $4.6 million compared to $3.7 million for 2016. This increase is primarily due to increases in sales and marketing expenses related to the build-out of our sales force and inventory allowance and one-time administrative credits in the prior year, offset to a certain extent by increases in total revenue. Loss per common share, basic and diluted, was $9.62 for fiscal year 2017 and $2.97 for the 2016 fiscal year. With that, I'll pass it back to Rick.
Thanks, Joe. So I'm going to briefly talk about the financial results that Joe just went over, and then I'm going to talk a bit about the technological, operational, logistical successes and the disappointments over the past quarter and over the past year. I'll start with just highlighting some of the financial results that Joe just gave us. In the fourth quarter, he told us that instrument sales grew 55% in the fourth quarter over the previous year's fourth quarter. Joe told us that consumable sales grew 20% in the fourth quarter over 2016's fourth quarter, and that together products and services sales grew 25%. Grants were flat. Total revenue increased in the quarter just ended by 20% over the fourth quarter of 2016. And as Joe mentioned, operating loss did increase, but he explained the expansion of the field sales team and the inventory allowance. So in all of our major categories, all of the important categories, instruments, consumables, total products, total services, and total revenue, they all increased in the fourth quarter over the previous year's fourth quarter. For the fiscal year 2017, instrument sales grew 21% over fiscal year 2016. Consumable sales grew 30% over fiscal year 2016. Products and services combined, which includes both instruments, consumables, and a number of other smaller items, grew 15% over 2016. Grants again were flat, and total revenue for the fiscal year 2017 grew 13% over 2016. So all in all, this was in terms of the fourth quarter, this was the eighth quarter in a row where our products and sales revenue exceeded the product and sales revenue of the previous year's same quarter. This was the fourth year in a row, fiscal year in a row, where our total revenue increased the previous year's total revenue. So obviously it's a goal of ours to keep this going. We feel we've set the stage. We feel we have a good chance to keep this going. Our goal now is not just to increase the revenue of our products, our services, our total revenue, our instruments, and our consumables over the same period previous year, but we're now looking to try to increase it at a healthier rate than we've been doing over this period of time where we've increased and shown growth eight quarters in a row over previous year and 4 years in a row over previous year. So just wanted to mention that on top of what Joe went over. In addition to the financial highlights, we had a number of other what I'm calling operational, logistical, technological highlights over the quarter and over the year. I'd like to just really talk about them for the year, and then I think we'll open it up for questions. I'm going to go back to last February of 2017, where we announced that we achieved CE marking. And this is on our new next-generation instrument. It's been out for slightly more than a year. Computer control versus microprocessor controlled for the one we sold for the previous 7 or 8 years. a number of new bells and whistles. It's the what we call the next generation barocycler or pressure cycler 2320 Extreme. We just call it the Extreme here. So CE marking permits us to begin selling the 2320 in all 31 countries of the European Economic Area. So that was a major achievement that took a little bit less than a year. I remember at the time saying, having done this multiple times in previous companies that I've started and run, I was pleasantly surprised that we got this done in under a year. After that, the Extreme in March, we put out a press release saying that the instrument was named the best new instrument for sample preparation in 2017 by Corporate American News, which they have, I believe, well over 100,000 readers, and it was part of their 2017 North American Excellence Awards. Of course, last year, Joe joined us as Chief Financial Officer and Vice President of Finance and Administration. We also mentioned over the year that Professor Rudy Abersold, who was voted the number one protein chemist in the world by several large protein organizations, and he is one of our most prolific and one of our best known customers. He received the prestigious Karger Medal, named in honor of Professor Karger at the Barnett Center at Northeastern University in Boston, for his significant contributions to the development of new bioanalytical methods. And in his two talks that he gave, he discussed the importance of sample preparation to discovery, and mentioned that he used the PCT platform in some of his studies. We also mentioned last year that our recently, you know, at that time in May and June, next generation Barocycler Extreme was named a finalist for the prestigious 2017 R&D 100 Awards. These R&D 100 Awards are known as really the Oscars of innovation, and they recognize the top 100 revolutionary technologies of the past year. So we were in a very select group out of thousands of potential groups and products vying for these awards. We were in a group of under 100, I believe, or just around 100 total that attended. We did not win, but the fact that we were nominated and that we were invited to the annual event was something I'm very proud of. And I think everybody here at Pressure Bio is very proud of. We were issued our first two patents last year on our widely applicable high pressure based, what we call ultra shear technology, or UST. It is a process that is similar to the high pressure pasteurization and high pressure processing that's done out there now, but it actually adds a different component, which is to put the material through very high intense shearing forces, which add a couple of additional positives to it. One, it kills pretty much kills all bacteria, all the viruses, and it can also form nano emulsions. It can make something go into solution where it doesn't normally go into solution. I talk about high pressure processing. I've mentioned before several times, you go into Starbucks and you can find the Evolution juice, and right on the front it'll say, it'll list a high pressure processed material. That's how they kill the bacteria. That's how they're able to not use any preservatives. There's no chemicals, no preservatives, no additives, no salts that are added to the Evolution juice of Starbucks. High pressure processing is basically putting a material under very high pressure, leaving it for a period of time, and then taking the pressure off. It's not too distant from what we do. Of course, our patents are on pressure cycling. We do that, and then we turn it back on and off and on and off and on and off, something that had never, ever been done before when we came up with the patents and the idea back 10, 12, 14, 15 years ago. But high pressure processing of food is now a $10 billion market, and we have we're not playing in that game. That's a game that's played by multi-billion-dollar companies that have machines that cost $5 million apiece. But we are looking at it now, particularly in the dairy area, using ultra shear, because high pressure processing doesn't work well with certain types of food that is not high in acidic content. juices, most juices are very high in acidic content. They work very well when you put them under pressure and then release the pressure. But foods that are less acidic, more basic, do not work well with high pressure processing, but we believe can work and have been shown to work with ultra shear technology. So we're very happy to get our first two patents. These patents basically are in some very interesting discoveries that Dr. Ting and Dr. Lazarev made that we think will enable this to expand this so that it can get to a commercial level of this ultra shear technology. Because right now, a number of people are using things similar to ultra shear, but they're doing it in the lab bench on very small amounts of material. They haven't figured out how to bring it to a commercial stage like you have with high pressure processing. We believe that the discoveries that we made and have filed patents on and have received two patents already from China and expect patents to be issued from many other countries during this year. We believe that these patents are in the area in which we are able to expand the ultra shear technology to a point where it can be an instrument that can be used in commercial operations. We also mentioned in last year that we struck up a strategic collaboration with a wonderful company called Phasix Corporation in North Andover, Massachusetts. They were founded by one of the gurus in what we call supercritical fluid processing, and they've been working on supercritical processing for about 30 years. Supercritical fluid processing is used to extract particularly a lot of things from plants, so a lot of your herbal medicines, your vitamins may come from supercritical fluid processing, and we thought it would be a good idea to have, after supercritical fluid processing, is to take the resultant material, which in plants is often a very thick oil, and put it through ultra shear technology that we believe would then kill the bacteria, viruses, and other pathogens that may be in the material, but also make that material into a nano emulsion. And nano emulsions, as we talked about before, have been written about a number of people over the past few years, that their bioavailability is much higher, their stability is much higher than your regular micro or macro emulsions. Remember, emulsions are when you're putting two or more things together that don't normally go together, and generally you have to add an emulsifier or a surfactant to put them together, like oil and water. But with our ultra shear that would follow supercritical fluid processing and extraction, we believe that we'd be able to reduce significantly the amount of chemicals that would need to be put into this emulsion to keep it intact. In fact, we believe in some cases we wouldn't need any at all. So we're very excited about getting those two patents, and also very excited that we think more patents are on their way. We also announced last year that Dr. Tianan Gao, who's been a friend of the company for 5 years, has done a lot of publishing in the company, has published with Professor Ebersold, who was his mentor, a number of papers, including papers in Nature, one of the leading scientific journals in the world. He moved back to China. He went to Westlake Institute for Advanced Study, a very well-known center in China. We worked with him to make his lab at the Westlake Institute a center of excellence. It's our first center of excellence in Asia, and in doing so, he purchased three instruments and has agreed that he will be happy to take in visitors, others that might be interested in China, in our equipment in China, to come to his place and work and see how everything works and get taught and get trained. So we're very excited about Dr. Gao and the Center of Excellence in China. We also acquired in December all of the assets of Barrowfold Corporation. Barrowfold Corporation, barrow again meaning pressure. One of the things about proteins is that proteins have to fold in a certain way. The structure of a protein begets its function. So the function depends very importantly on the structure of that protein. And if that protein is made in the lab, as many proteins are, and it gets misfolded a lot or a little, the function may not be the same. The function may not be there at all. It may, in fact, not even be good for a drug anymore. So Beriful was a company that was started a number of years ago to use pressure to unfold proteins and then to take the pressure off, and they would refold. Oftentimes, they refold in their correct configuration. So Beriful was a company that was using this process, had patents in this process. They had the only patents that we envied, quite frankly, in the area of pressure. They beat us to it. They were using it to work with large pharmaceutical companies to license them the technology to unfold their proteins and then to refold them so they would be structurally sound and they would have the activity that they're supposed to have. And they unfortunately ran into a number of problems, and we were the recipient of that because we were able to buy all of the assets of Beriful, which includes all of their patents that are pending and their patents that are issued, and we announced that in December of this year. And we also, in December, announced that a significant upgrade. In fact, I remember telling everybody on the phone call that it took us 8 or 9 different renditions of software to get to that point, but that we made a significant software upgrade to our next generation 2320 Extreme instrument. And what it did is it brought this instrument up to a level of compliance with good manufacturing practices and good laboratory practices. And we believe that now that this instrument is able to be used in other areas of a biopharmaceutical company, let alone, you know, a research and other types of companies, that it would open many doors for us in these new area, in this new area, very large area of life sciences. So in addition to the fact that we had our 8th quarter in a row with major financial results exceeding those of the same quarter previous year, in addition to the fact that we were able to report total revenue for the 4th year in a row that exceeded the prior year's total revenue, we also had a number of things that were very profound to us. They were very important to us in the area of technological breakthroughs, collaborations, and working with key opinion leaders, and enhancements of our own internal operations, particularly sales and marketing. What I left out off on that list somehow was that we grew our sales and marketing team from 1 person in the field. So by the end of the year, by the end of December, we had 5 people. We had Roxana, who heads up sales and marketing, and we hired 4 people who all came in November to be trained. So freshly trained and back in and out into the field at the beginning of this year. So we've enhanced our sales and marketing. All of these things were done during the year. In the area of disappointments, as we said in the press release, I think Joe mentioned in the press release, we're disappointed that our goal of uplisting the company to a national exchange did not happen. We understand the importance, the absolute importance of getting the company uplisted to a national exchange such as NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange, Amex, and it is on our list, it is back on our list, and we are putting things together to take another run at it. We were approved by SEC, we were approved by FINRA, we were approved by NASDAQ last year. We had all the approvals we needed, but we did not meet one of the many criteria, just one of the many criteria. So we've gone back, and Joe and I have been working with others, and it is a major goal this year. In addition to increasing sales and in addition to taking advantage of the patents that we've purchased and the patents that we've earned and so many other things, we also have on our list for 2018 that this is the year that we want to get this company back onto the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. So at this point, Matt, I'm done going through what I wanted to talk about. I'd like to open it up to see if anybody that's on the call might have any questions for either Joe or me.
Great, thank you. At this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to move your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question is from Brian Freefield from Blue Hawk Group. Please go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Rick, you had mentioned that the 2320 Extreme announcement had said that it met GMP and GLP compliance. Now, were there any changes in customer interest in the next generation barocycler that you noticed?
Yes, certainly a major change. We had mentioned on previous phone calls that we thought we were given every indication that certain very large, what I call multi-billion dollar multinational companies would probably have an interest in this machine once we were able to get it to a level of compliance with GMP and GLP, Brian, and that's exactly what we are now starting to see. And this is one of the reasons we hired a sales force, one of the many, to bring the message out to these companies. So, yes, the difference is that when you have and it doesn't have to be a multinational, multi-billion-dollar company, but when you have a manufacturer, when you have a biopharmaceutical company, when you have an arm of a biotechnology company, there are a number of areas in that company that we believe could use our instrument that have not been using it. And we came to the conclusion they were not using it because those parts of the company were often looked at by FDA and other regulatory agencies, inspected, et cetera, and we were not complying with GMP and GLP with the original instrument, which is a big, I mean, it's a tremendous amount of work. So it's a good question. The answer is now that it is in compliance, we've seen a spark in some of these. Have to admit, there's a lot of them that we want to see a spark in. We went after the low-hanging fruit, the three or four companies that knew what was going on, and some of them even helped us. But our hope, our expectation is that as this year goes on, that more and more companies are going to realize that we now have an instrument that's way beyond where it was even 3, 4, 5 months ago, let alone a year ago when it came out. So yes, we've seen, we've now sold, I believe, 5 instruments to one division of one multinational company, and that company only had one instrument before. They bought 4 more, and the parent company has one instrument, and we believe they may order a couple of instruments, in the coming months. And that's just one company out of over 100 that we've, earmarked that we want to go after.
Great. Thanks for that.
Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star 1. Our next question is from Daniel Wong, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, Rick, congratulations on the achievements there, and definitely a good revenue quarter there for you. I wanted to talk a little bit more and find out more about the Barofold assets purchase and what that's meant for the company. You know, the way the deal was structured seemed like it's very promising for the company. Any more you can share with us around that?
A little bit, but not much. You know, I've had several people ask me about this in my travels over the last 3 months or so, and I think everybody, they see this, and everyone's hope is that instantaneously the spigot turns on, and that's not what happens here. We still haven't received. It was a lot of work and a lot of cost to put together the physical assets, the instruments, the pressure chambers, and many things that were out in Colorado. They're due to be delivered this week, so that it just shows you how some of these things take time. But in terms of the technology, the major reason we're excited about Barofold is that they own the patents that allow you to practice using pressure to refold proteins. So unfolding proteins is not a problem, but refolding them, unfolding them, and refolding them is something that is what we can now license, and we're learning. We've done a number of studies in the past, I'd say, month to 6 weeks. We will be doing more. We actually have the founder and chief scientific officer of Barofold coming out to visit us in a couple of weeks. That's his first visit, because we think we're now ready to get tested by the guru. We have been in discussions with two companies that are international companies, that are very large companies that make protein drugs. And we have, to my knowledge, we've just signed a non-disclosure with one. I can't obviously tell you who these companies are and what they're doing, but what I can say is that these are companies, the company in particular I'm talking about is developing a protein drug. It has a problem with it, with its folding, and because it doesn't fold correctly when they make it, it actually is losing a lot of activity. And they've tried a number of things, and we got a phone call saying, we understand you now own the patents for refolding. We'd like to work with you. We've got a non-disclosure going. That's the type of thing we want to have going with two or three or four companies, because if we can, here's a company that has tried everything in the book, and a lot of them are chemical and other ways of trying to refold their protein to make it work, to make it viable, to make it functional, and nothing has worked long term. I think the chance of us making it work is not good. However, they're going to try, and we'll charge them for it. And that's the model, is charge them, and for maybe every four or five that we charge, maybe one will work. We're going to make money if they work, and we're going to make money if they don't work. At least they'll know. And if they do work, I think the potential is to make a lot of money. And in this case, this is a company outside the U.S., that is really dependent on us. If we can show that that pressure will allow their protein to refold, unfold and refold back into a very stable, natural configuration with it, with the activity it expects, then we're the only game they can use, and therefore we become their partner. And if that drug ends up being a blockbuster drug, imagine what it could mean to the company. If that drug doesn't end up being a blockbuster drug, it still means something to our company. So, yes, Dan, we are starting. We have our first trial probably in the next few months with this one company, but we have a second company that's contacted us, and we haven't gone outside to contact anybody yet because we're just getting our feet wet. So it's exciting. I believe there will be impact from the Barrifold acquisition of their assets in 2018. I think it's likely there could be some financial impact in the second quarter, and more likely that there'll be even more in the third and the fourth quarter. And the same goes for the instrument to the question that that Brian asked before yours, Dan, which is, again, as we start getting the word out, I believe the impact of the changes we made to the instrument and the impact of the patents and the impact of UltraShear technology are going to be felt each quarter, but we think more and more as each quarter goes on, as the year goes on.
Great. Look forward to it. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you. This concludes the question and answer session. I'd like to turn the floor back over to management now for any closing comments.
Okay. Well, I appreciate everybody taking their time out of their busy day. I know some people are several people call me because they're on holiday. I know there's school vacation week, and I know some people took an extended holiday due to Passover or Easter, etc. So I appreciate those who did join us. Remember, we're here. If you're shareholders, we're here for you. You can always call us. We can't tell you anything that's not publicly disclosed, but if there's anything that comes up as you dig into the 10-K and dig into anything we put out there, please don't hesitate to call Joe or me, and we'll do our best to help you out. So thanks again for joining us, and we look forward. It's not going to be very long because the first quarter, which is now finished, we'll be reporting the results of the first quarter in middle of May. Yeah, so it's right around the corner. Thanks again, everybody.